got a phrase I would like to write on the board. The Lord's been talking to me about, and my hope and my prayer is that we can all learn something, and that the Lord will help me too to be able to live to this. I've written, choose to love. I don't think the Lord's ever given me a message quite like this one before. But the Lord has been opening my understanding in this way. I'd like to begin by reading a scripture in Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter, where it's a very familiar scripture. Says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might." It's kind of hard for us sometimes to understand what love really is. And I've asked myself that question before and tried to figure it out and tried to feel it and have it. We know that the scripture says that God is love. And it also, at the beginning of that verse, it says, "He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." And so I want to make sure that I love. But what is it, and how do you do it? I think the world has a very distorted view of what love is. We'll get into that more in a little bit, but it's interesting to me that it doesn't really give this, in Deuteronomy, it doesn't really give this as a feeling. It says, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might." You know, love is something that it wouldn't really be possible for us to do if we hadn't been loved first. Think of all that the Lord had done for Israel up to that point. It says that He led them out with a mighty hand, led them out of the land of Egypt, brought them to a... At that time, they weren't in the Canaan land yet, but think of all that He had done for them. He had caused their shoes not to wear out, and He fed them with manna, and He fed them with flesh at times, and He brought them water out of the rock, and He subdued their enemies, and He provided for all their needs, and He cherished them. He said, "You're a peculiar people. If you'll keep My commandments, you'll be a peculiar people unto Me." His hand was over that. That word peculiar means my personal private possession, my jewel, my something that's very dear to Me. And so He endeared Himself to the children of Israel. And so He said, in return, "I just want you to serve Me." And when it says, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might," you know, this goes a whole lot beyond just a feeling, some sort of a what you might call a warm, fuzzy feeling or whatever. There are times when the feelings are not there, all right? There are all kinds of people in our lives, and the Lord wants us to love every one of them. He wants us to love Him. But sometimes I think that we think that it's a feeling, and we either have it or we don't have it, and we kind of base our gauge of how much I love this person off how I feel about them. You know, if they've treated me real good, then I just feel this sense of love for them. But if they didn't treat me real good, well, Lord, it's hard to love them. Lord, help me to love them. You know I don't like them and all this. But I've been thinking, been reading and been asking the Lord, and the Lord has been showing me how to better love Him and how to better love other people. And there are times when when the feeling is not there, but you and I must choose to love. And how do we do that? And what does it do we manufacture a feeling? Do we come up with some sort of an emotional high? No, it's not about that. In John 14 and 15, Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." In 1 John 3 and 22, it says, and this ups the ante a little bit. It says, "Whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments, and we do those things which are pleasing in his sight." That's more, there are all kinds of things that we can do, okay? And we can live a life where we do things and we serve the Lord somewhat because we're afraid we're going to go to hell. Do you know that, you know, when I got saved, I became a Christian because I was afraid of going to hell. And you know, I believe a lot of people, I believe the Lord will work with that. And that maybe that's all that you've got. But the Lord wants you to come to a place where you realize what He did for you. You realize the benefits. And because of that, you look and say, you know what? He did all this for me, and I can't live to myself. I love the Lord, and I'm not just going to do what I feel like will keep me out of hell, but I'm going to do the things that make the Lord happy. It says that whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and we do those things which are pleasing in His sight. You know that kind of trickles down to a lot of other. If you have a marriage, and just most we have 1, 2, 3, 4 marriages represented here this morning. If you have a good marriage, then you know this. That having a good marriage is not all about doing what you have to do. Okay? If you know that your wife likes a break every now and then it's not just good enough. There will be times, you know, that if you say, "Honey, let's go get pizza tonight." You know what speaks to your spouse. Maybe your wife likes a bouquet of flowers. It's not something she needs in order to exist. It's, although you need love in order to exist. You need love in order to thrive. We need to love in order to thrive. And sometimes I think we don't really understand that. And we say, well, and we can say, well, I told her I love her. She knows I love her because I said so. Do you know that's not to tell somebody we love them? Really, if it's not backed up by actions, then it's not love at all. Because love is more, it's more than a feeling. It's more than a declaration. In fact, it's really not those things. When we say I love you, all that means is that I'm conveying information that really means something concrete. Does that make sense? When I say I love you, that means I value you. You are worth something to me. There are things I will give up for you. There are things I will do for you, and there are things I won't do because I love you. That's what we mean. That's what, when we say I love you, that's what it means. I have a hard time when there are different kinds of love represented in the Bible. It's not really my burden to go into all of those. I think there's something like 5 different types that are represented by in translation in the Bible. We have a situation where, and we read about it in the Sunday school, or briefly mentioned it, how Amnon said he loved his half-sister Tamar. He didn't really love her in the sense that I'm talking about this morning. It wasn't love at all. It was a selfish desire. It was an infatuation. It was something that that it was something that was very self-serving. He did not love her at all in the sense that he valued her. But love and value are pretty much one and the same thing with what I'm talking about this morning. You know, when it says to love the Lord with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, you know what that really means? That I'm going to put Him number one in my life. I'm going to value Him more than I value anything else. I'm going to value Him more than my human relationships. I'm going to value God more than I value financial prosperity. I'm going to value Him more than the pleasures that I'm going to get by serving my own flesh. I'm going to value Him and His... And you know, by extension, that means that I'm going to value people because... And this is something that the Old Testament didn't have in the same sense. It didn't... He didn't choose everyone in the Old Testament. It wasn't something... I believe that He still worked with anyone whose heart was perfect toward Him, because you can see how He dealt with people like Balaam, who was not an Israelite, and Ruth, who was a Moabite. Instances like that. But it was different. There was a difference. But now, we love other people because God loves them, and because we love God, then we want to love everyone He loves. And so I choose every day. I serve the Lord with all my heart, all my soul, and all my mind. It's more than a feeling. There are many times when the feeling, if you've been married for any length of time, if you've only been married a week, this you might not understand this, but everybody here has been married longer than a week. If you've been married a week, the feelings, the emotions, they're still there, and you're so excited about being joined to this person. But after you've been married a week, you don't have that same feeling all the time anymore, do you? If you say yes, I don't believe you. Okay, the feeling, there are times when there's conflict and there are times when there's stress and babies cry in the middle of the night and things happen and you have flat tires on the middle of the interstate going out, and there's hard situations. And at those times, the feelings, the emotion might not be there at all. What are you going to do then? There are times when the feelings toward God, where you might be busy and you might be having to work long hours, and there are times when maybe you want to go and you want to do something one day, and then all of a sudden you get about ready to leave and somebody knocks on your door, and you know that the Lord sent them into your life for you to help. What are you going to do then? The feeling of, I'm just so excited about this. It's not there. But I want to tell you something. We can make a choice to love at all times. If you have been saved and God has put the love of God in you, it might be there, but He did not put in you a perpetual feeling of an emotional high. He put in you the ability and the power and the knowledge of what He did for you and the things that He brought you out of to spark in you something that will motivate you and spur you and drive you to do the things that make the Lord happy, the things that are pleasing in His sight. He put in you, if you are a Christian this morning, He put in you the ability to love those around you, no matter how they treat you, because it is pleasing in the Lord's sight. The Lord put in you the ability to love. And that love, as you grow, that love will increase. The ability will increase. But it's not always going to be an emotional high, okay? Now, I'm going to just read a few scriptures. In Colossians 3 and 19, we won't turn there, but it says, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. And I've marveled. I've always, well, not all, a few years ago, somebody somebody spoke on this, and I marveled at it. I've marveled at it ever since then. It says, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. That has to mean that you choose. Because there are times where I trust everyone in here has a good wife or a good husband. This can apply both ways, all right? But there are people that I have known that were Christians that did not have a good wife or a good husband. Do you know that in those times, by the power of God, we can choose to love anyway? And even if you have a good marriage, there are times when this verse is applicable because there are misunderstandings. There are times when the feelings just aren't there. There are times when there are is stress in life and you're spending a lot of time working and things like that, and you don't have time to maybe spend a lot of quality time together. In those times, choose to love. And it's more than saying, I love you. You can say, I love you, but I want to tell you something that I have found personally. That if you say it and you don't back it up with the action, it really, the things that you know convey love. It doesn't really mean much. Lord, help us this morning. I have a burden that I'd like for the Lord to be able to convey to your hearts this morning. It's not going to happen by my words alone. So I would appreciate your prayers. You remember the scripture, God loveth a cheerful giver. Let's read this one first. It's in 1 John 4:19. If you want to learn a little bit about love, read the book of 1 John. Read the book of John too. Those books, both of those books are really good with this subject. I will just say that knowing how to love has not been easy for me. I've had to learn in recent years how to do it. And I feel like I'm still learning. But I also know that love is greater. It's the greatest force in the world. And it's so important for us to have it. And for us to show it. And for us to live it. If we're ever going to have any kind of success helping others. If we're going to put, we heard this morning about being a good father, and I believe you could say being a good mother. If you're going to be a good father, you're going to be a good mother. We have to learn how to do this. It says, we love Him, 1 John 4:19, we love Him because He first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. You know, that's one of the strongest statements I've ever seen in the New Testament. And I've kind of marveled at that and thought, well, why doesn't it say if a man say, I love God, but he hateth his brother, then his understanding's just not there yet. You know, there are some things in the Bible that are an impossibility. There are some things that if we say, if we profess to love God, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And the whole essence of the gospel is that every creature on earth is or was under the bondage of sin. And there's a heaven to gain, and there's a hell to shun. And if we hate someone, 1 John, another place said, he that hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. There are many ways that we can hate people. You know, hate isn't necessarily just a feeling either. There are times when we can help people, we can choose to do it, and we don't. And there are, if we know that someone, love and hate is something that is so confused by the world today. You see signs that say just be kind. And, or, I don't know, love everyone, something like that. You know, I agree with those. I agree with those, but not in the sense that many times is that's behind those signs. I knew someone one time that lived a lifestyle that I knew. It was one of those lifestyles that the Bible says, they that do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. It was more than just someone that maybe just didn't have enough understanding and they were a Christian, but the Lord will... It was something that was an abomination. It was one of the alternative things, and it's wicked, and it's awful, and it's something that people need, that it's against nature. And so I waited, and it was a relative of mine, and I said, God, give me an opportunity to be able to help this person. And so I would take them, we would go out to eat, and we would do things, and the Lord gave me opportunities to be with them. And you know, in all that time, I never said a word about, you know, you're going to hell. You know, you're lost. You know, I never said a word about it. But the Lord, one day, the Lord gave me an opportunity. It came. And I had already shown this person that I cared about them, that they meant something to me, because that's what love is. It's value. It's not a feeling. It's not an emotion. Not just that. It can be, that can be part of it. But one day I had an opportunity, and I said, I want to tell you something. You're not going to make it to heaven like this. And you know the way I did it, they thanked me later for telling them. And I told them, I said, listen, I love you, but I have to say this. This is the opportunity I believe God wants me to say this. I don't remember exactly all the words I told him, but I said, I want to tell you something. If I don't explain why I'm telling you this, if you were sitting in the middle of a train track and I knew there was a train that was coming and I didn't warn you, would that be loving you? If I threw you a pillow and said, here, make yourself comfortable. I tolerate you just the way you are and right there where you are. I love you. I love you. I want you to have the best in life. I want you to be comfortable where you're at. And I knew there was a train coming. Would that be love? No. I knew it and they knew it too. There are times when love, the world doesn't have a good idea of what love is. To them, love means tolerance. I love you, and so I'm not going to say anything about what you're doing. I'm not going to say it's wrong. I'm not going to make any kind of a judgment. Just be kind. We tolerate. We tolerate each other. But that can be so... I want to tell you, this is a strong statement, but that kind of love is hateful. All right? It can be. Because that means that if I know that someone else is in danger and I don't do it, it doesn't mean that I'm going to go to them at the first opportunity and say, you're not saved. But I'm going to go fishing for them. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm going to go fishing. I'm going to learn them. I'm going to learn how they feel love. I'm going to learn how they communicate. I'm going to learn what speaks to them. And the whole time I'm going to say, God, give me an opportunity to help this person, because I don't want them to go to hell. They're important to me. They're valuable to me. And the reason that they're important and valuable to me is because they're important and valuable to you. And we do the things that are pleasing in the Lord's sight. And I want to do this. See, there's, you know why the scripture says God loveth a cheerful giver rather than God loveth a giver? It's because we choose to love. He wants us to choose to love Him. If I choose to love God, then I want to serve Him. I want to give to Him. I want to help other people. I want to give of myself. I want there to be a sacrificial. You know, love is sacrificial. It means that I am going to give of myself for someone else. Whether it's for God or for my fellow man. I'm going to give of myself. That's what love really is. The feel-good kind of love is something that, you know, you might hug and kiss your baby because he's cute. And you know, God put that in you. God put that in you to love and cherish. But if the only reason that you show affection is because they're cute, there better be more than that. I care about them because sometimes they're not cute. And sometimes they don't act cute. And sometimes they act positively wicked. You know that at those times, you know that if our children, and they pick up so much, our children pick up so much, but if they discern that the times that we love them are when they are cute, and the times that we're irritated and we punish them are when they're not cute, how much do you think they're going to feel that we love them? How much are they going to feel that? If we only play the games with our children that we ourselves like, well, here, you want to do this with me? Yeah, sure. And it's something that I like. But, hey, Dad, will you do this over here with me? And it's something that I'm not interested in at all. Oh, no, son, I don't have time for that. Yeah, I can't do that. I just want to challenge us this morning that God loveth a cheerful giver. We hear a lot this morning, or we hear a lot in the world today about self-love. I've seen it all over the place. That your tank needs to be full before you can love somebody else. That you need to take care of yourself. That you need to... You know, I want to tell you something. Ephesians 5:28 says, "So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies." And it says, "He that loveth his wife loveth himself." You know, the Bible wants us to care for our own self, but not in the way that the world says. I have a soul. I want to go to heaven. But I want to tell you that the way for me to do that, the way that I'm going to be happy, is not how the world says that I'm going to be happy. The way that I'm going to be happy is by sacrificing my own desires and living a life of continual self-sacrifice for God and for everyone else. All right? I have by degrees, I have found this to be so. I believe I say by degrees. It's not as if the Lord has taught me how to do this. The Lord is teaching me how to do this. Where sacrificial love is how you're going to be the happiest. You want to be happy? Choose to love. You want to be fulfilled? Choose to love. Do the things that make the Lord happy. Do the things that make your siblings happy. Do the things that make your spouse happy. Do the things that make your neighbors happy. I just want to read a few scriptures here. In Proverbs 13:24, it says, "He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes." We can do a lot of things where we think, we can tell ourselves, "I'm doing this because I love him. Oh, I love him and I wouldn't ever want him to have any pain or whatever." I want to tell you that we need to have in our minds a picture and a vision of the long term. If I raise my children with the thought of, "Oh, I love, they're cuddly and they're cute and I just want them to stay that way and I'm going to hug them and kiss them and they're going to be dear to me and I wouldn't even think of raising my hand to spank them and I wouldn't think of punishing them." I want to tell you that the scripture said, these are not my words, all right? The scripture says, If you do that, you don't love your children. Because if we allow them to do whatever they want. We heard in the Sunday school about David. They had a son whose name was Adonijah. And David said that he had never at any time displeased Adonijah by saying, "Why hast thou done so? Why'd you do that? I don't want to cross my child's will because I just want them to be sweet and happy. And I want them to, I want to tell you something. That if we let our children just go and we do the things and we think that life, raising children is all about candy and all the enjoyable stuff. You know what I'm saying? If we do that, we're going to raise children that don't have a very good chance of making it to heaven. All right? We're going to raise children that have uncontrollable tempers and unrestrained lusts and hateful dispositions, spoiled, selfish. Lord, help us. I don't want my children to be that way. I feel like what Darren said a while ago, he said, I'm not really qualified to do child training. I'm not either. Mine are young, but I'm just reading some of what the scriptures say. He that spareth his rod hateth his son. We can say, I love you, all we want to. But the way that we choose to love is to do the things that are difficult. Why do we get onto our children? Why do we punish them? Is it, and ask yourself this, why do I? Is it because they just pushed my button so much that I couldn't take it anymore? Oh, son, you broke my favorite vase. If it would have been one of these other vases over here, then we might have let this slide, but it was my favorite one. You are in trouble now. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? When we correct our children, it has to be because we choose to love them, not because they aggravated. Oh, I'm so aggravated, and so I'm going to let them have it. It can't be because of that, folks. It cannot be because of that. There was a person I talked to one time, and they said it was someone who was straying far away from God. And they looked at me and said, you know what? Whatever happens, I'm always going to put my children first. My children are first. Whatever I have to do to put them first, I'm going to put them first. And I looked right back at them. And I did not say this, and maybe I actually should have. I've always wondered if I should have said it. But I look back at him, and the thought that was in my mind is, no. No, your children are not first. The reason that I know that is because you are not putting God first. You're going far away from God. You're teaching your children that living for God is not a priority. That's not putting them first, because they have souls. One of these days, they're going to have to answer for God. They're going to stand before God. Are you teaching them how to serve Him? Are you teaching them the values that you yourself were taught? No, you've forgotten that. Your children are not first. The scripture, these are not my words, but when we do those kind of things and we say that we love them, but we do actions that show that really we hate them. And here I'm not talking about an emotion. I'm talking about how we value them. When it says you hate in the scripture, what it really means is that they're not worth anything to you. That you don't place any kind of value on them. That your sense of value and commitment is somewhere else. And so that's why it says, he that hateth his brother is a murderer. Because if you hate your brother, that means that you don't have any kind of value you put on them. You want to be rid of them. You want them out. You don't care what happens to them. You don't place any value on their soul if you hate them. That's why it says that. It says in 1 Corinthians 13, and that's the love chapter. We're not going to spend a lot of time there, but it's real good. There are so many scriptures that talk about love. Lord, help us to understand how to love. But it says in 1 Corinthians 13 that charity, or love, seeketh not her own. It doesn't seek her own. And so we need, I just want to encourage us to keep this before us. When we look at one of our children or our spouse or whatever, and we say, I love you, are we doing that to convey to them that we love them, or are we doing it because we want to hear them say it back? Okay? Charity seeketh not her own. There's nothing wrong with going to someone and saying, I love you. But let it be. I think it's in Peter, 1 Peter, that says something about charity out of a pure heart, love unfeigned, something like that. Maybe I'm getting that mixed up. When we give a gift to someone, turn it loose. Whatever it is, if you give a gift to somebody, turn it loose. Why are you giving it to them? Are you giving it to them so that it'll help them, make them happy? Are you giving it to them because you love them? Or are you giving it to them because of the expectation that you have of how they will feel towards you because you gave it to them? What are you doing with my gift? You put it in the attic? Why don't you have it down here on the shelf? Why aren't you? I want you to enjoy it. Do you know that when we do something for somebody, we need to turn loose whatever expectation we have about what they do with it? Because we want the goal is we love them. We want them to enjoy. We're trying to do things for them. You better like those. What if I gave flowers to my wife on Valentine's Day? You know, I'm just going to tell you something interesting. I found this out. I used to give my wife flowers a lot. Okay? She doesn't like them that much. So I stopped. I give them to her every once in a while, but it's probably only every 2 or 3 years or something. It's not very often. But I found out that there are things that my wife likes a lot more than flowers. And it says, I love you a lot more than flowers. Maybe, what do you think I should have done? Maybe go to the flower shop. Oh, she doesn't like the flowers? Well, this time, on the flowers, when they ask me at the flower shop, do you want to put a note on there? I'll put, you better like this. Love, Joseph. How about that? That there, that's the way to fix that. No, you learn what they like, what speaks to them. Everybody has a different, something different that speaks to them. I found out, see, what speaks to me is when people, if people tell me, I appreciate you, that speaks to me. Now, if I don't trust their honesty and somebody that I know is just flattering to, no, that doesn't. But if my wife tells, I know my wife is an honest person. And so if she says, I appreciate you, I'm glad I have you, I respect you, that speaks a lot to me. But you know that that doesn't really speak a lot to her. I'm just using us as an example because I know how we are. But you can relate this to how you are too. Time. And quality time and things. There's actually a book called The Five Love Languages. You've probably all heard of it. But it's really good. I would recommend that you read it. It's ways that you can choose to love. And you learn how to effectively love. You know, fixing the broken handle on the back door means a whole lot more to my wife than a bouquet of flowers. Choose to love. Learn the things, and don't just decide, I'm gonna do this because that's what I want to do. That's the way. And how dare they not appreciate it? They better appreciate it. Charity seeketh not her own. And I want to read one more scripture. It's in Proverbs 27 and 6. It says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Do you know that we can have an idea about what a relationship ought to be? And some people, I think, maybe have in their minds that the perfect relationship, the perfect marriage, the perfect friendship doesn't really have any conflict in it. But I want to tell you that when there's no conflict, usually it's because that one person is afraid to be able to say the things that they need to say. And maybe the other person has no problem. It's usually kind of that way. It's usually a little bit lopsided. Where you have a disagreement and one person is afraid to say things. And then the other person is the reason why they're afraid to say things. And then the other person themselves says things. And, you know, and then the other person doesn't want to get into conflict. I want to tell you something. This says faithful are the wounds of a friend. Well, anyone can give wounds. Anyone can give wounds, but the difference is why they're given. You know, I can tell somebody, and I've told friends before, and I've had friends tell me, you know, I appreciate you, but the way that you do this is hurtful. You know that those have been some of the times that have caused me to grow is when other people in love told me, this is what you're doing. And those times have opened my eyes. It says, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. You know that we can spend our time, whether it's with our spouse or spouse and children. Most of the people that you kiss are probably going to be your spouse and your wife, or your spouse and your children. You know that if you come to them and you try to butter them up and do all this, and the purpose is to get something out of them. I'm going to do this so they'll do this. You know that in those times we're really not their friend. We're their enemy. That's what this is talking about this morning. That we don't value them. That we don't love them. That the things that we do that represent love are actually done in a self-serving way. But it says faithful are the wounds of a friend. And so we can have the knowledge that if someone loves us and they say something to us that challenges something in your life. You know, so many relationships, I believe, would be mended if we minded this verse, if we understood it. I hear so many times people say, well, they said this to me. And then from that point on, there's a distrust and an unappreciation, and there's hurt feelings, and there's bad attitudes, and there's grudges that are being held. Do you know that Jesus outlined a way to resolve conflict? He said, if a brother offends you, go to him. Go to him and say, you did this. And you know, I believe that the reason that he outlined it like that is so the other person would have an opportunity to say, this is why I said this. I love you and I care about you. But I said this so that our relationship would be stronger. I said this so that for your benefit. We have the opportunity to wound others. But if we do it in a self-serving way, if my wife is doing something that makes me angry, and the reason that I say it is because I'm angry, then I am not at that time a friend to her. I'm an enemy. Faithful are the wounds of a true friend. When we choose to love, and the things that we do and the things that we say are out of love, that just benefits everyone and the relationships. I think there would be so many more good relationships and so fewer hurt feelings and so fewer grudges and people sitting on opposite sides of the church because they don't. We sit on opposite sides of the church. Don't read anything into that. There would be so much. It would be so much better. Lord, help us to where everyone we're around, whether it's someone that It's our neighbor, our spouse, children, parents, our in-laws, our friends, our co-workers, whoever it is, that what we do and say to them, we may make some mistakes. We may say some things that hurt their feelings accidentally. I've done that before. I've said things that people took entirely the wrong way. But I will tell you that the possibility for broken relationships will be so much more diminished if everything that we do is done with charity. That's a scripture. It says, let all your things be done with charity. Lord, help us. I myself am deeply challenged by the thoughts that the Lord has given to me with this. And I am begging the Lord to help me to live to it myself. Amen.